her chain right now. It's pretty impressive because everybody is holding hands. I've got a key for WILO.
When you need to know, use WILO.
When you need to know.
Retired teachers, one of our main points is that we do a lot of service for the community. And I consider this part of my service for my community.
On the air first when seconds count.
A replacement out there, you know, and you want to be careful what you do. That's a very interesting department out there. There's a lot of different mechanisms that go into that department, and you want to make sure you get the right person.
The news team you've come to depend on.
That's not a rule right now. There's no ordinance to enforce that. Speeding, fishing, harassing the petting zoo animals, those types of things. Camping in the park. You can't camp in the park. It will be against city orders to sleep in a park after a certain hour.
Your official weather station.
Or as a classroom. It has lots of different, about 35 actually, different ways and objects that help students or teens hide things from their parents or their teachers. It has a concentration on vaping, but it also covers other substances.
When you need to know, WILO.
Where the business is small, it is also mighty. Home National Bank offers an array of services to accommodate all of your banking needs. Live chat support and community involvement are some of the aspects that set Home National Bank apart from your average bank. Stop in the Thorntown or Lebanon locations today. Why wait? Home National Bank, a bank that makes you feel at home. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
It's harvest time, and you've got days, not weeks, to get your grain out of the field and safely stored. That's why Brock Grain Systems are built to deliver day-to-day reliability and long-lasting durability to protect your crop and your livelihood. They're Brock Solid, and so is Indiana Farm Systems, this area's authorized independent Brock dealer. You can depend on Indiana Farm Systems for Brock Solid support and service, meaning your grain storage, handling, conditioning, and structures will stand up to the challenge. And so will Indiana Farm Systems. Don't trust your grain to anything or anyone less. Call Indiana Farm Systems today at 765-883-5557 or visit their website at infarmsys.com.
Let's get back to Ag Day 2020 from WILO. Our sponsors are Co-Alliance of Mulberry, Home National Bank of Thorntown, Lebanon and Frankfort, Ivy Tech Community College, Wampler Services Incorporated, and Indiana Farm Systems. And if you're watching us online at HoosierLandTV.com, make sure you thank these sponsors: The Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, Home National Bank, Wilson Farm Market, ProBuy Computer Sales and Service, Ardente Dental, and Slabby's Food and Freedom. Now we continue with Ag Day 2020, again with your host, Melissa Miller.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate you getting all the sponsors in there for me. We just want to do a quick shout out to Ellis Jewelry for giving us some great gifts for our guest, and also CNR Catering for feeding us and feeding us very, very well.
They're great.
And I'm hoping, Rodney, I hope there's leftovers back there because I'm ready to go back.
He just left me a note that said, do you want to leave leftovers?
Yes, please. Yeah. I know he's listening to us back there. So, yeah, Rodney, yes. Do not walk out with anything. Just your tools. That's it. Leave the food. But anyway, let's get back to the program because we still got a lot to talk about. And this is, yeah, it's going a lot faster than what we thought it was going to be. We are with our roundtable guest, Austin Green from Clinton County Soil Water Conservation District. Also, Joe Rorick, and yes, I got it right that time, Conservation Cropping Services Initiative. Yeah, see, I botched that. Conservation Cropping Service Initiative. If I talk slower, I can get it. And also George Madison from AgriGold. And George, I kind of left you with a question when we went into the break about your thoughts on the agronomics and adaptability of today's hybrids to handle the tougher growing conditions that you're going to have with the cover crop, heavier residue and everything. So why don't you enlighten us a little bit from what you're seeing on your aspects.
Yeah, well, to start off, I mean, if you want to talk about, you know, how much more advanced our hybrids across all companies today are compared to what we've dealt with in the past, I mean, 2019 is a great contest to that. The growing season, after we got planted, we had a beautiful growing season after that, but man, to get started, it was rough. I mean, to think of products getting planted in the June timeframe and still producing the way they did, I think amazed a lot of people in a lot of regards. The way these products are able to get up out of the ground and get off to the races. I guess based on your comment, something that popped into my head right off the bat, I had a customer there in the Frankfort area who had a field of corn he planted there at the beginning of June, right at the beginning of the June, and he was amazed, called me just a few days later, and he's telling me how that corn is already up out of the ground less than 5 days from the day he planted it. I mean, the emergence score on these products just compared to 10 years ago alone have increased. Now, some obviously have better emergence scores than others in a no-till and a cover crop environment. That's where we got to really hone in. That's one of the first questions when we sit down to do our cropping plan. It's, hey, where are we going to be incorporating these cover crops? What cover crops are we going to be incorporating? Also, what is our equipment or our plan to remove that cover crop or be able to plant the field there in springtime? So making sure we have a product with strong agronomics, a great emergence score, which our breeders and researchers have been breeding into these products each and every year. We keep climbing that ladder. But just identifying which one of those we need for a given environment. We could have a farm 5 minutes from each other, for instance, that may have a totally different product lineup just based on their practices. Cover crops being one, nutrient management, herbicide program, finding what products work for each farm is the biggest.
I just wanted to pick your brain a little bit, George. I can't believe how fast time's flying. Talk a little bit, if you would, what you're seeing this year as far as with the poor grain quality last year. What's the seed supply, the seed quality, germination rates? What are we looking at going into this spring that is forecasted to be wet again? What kind of cards are we being dealt along those lines?
Yeah, that's fair. As we look into planting season 2020, it's sneaking up on us. I mean, it is coming quick. I mean, in a lot of cases, you know, we're looking at 30, 45 days and guys will be wanting to roll pretty hard. So as we start looking into 2020, I guess the best way to word it is 2019, it really has a long tail. Managing inventory for seed companies as a whole is how I'll word it, is a huge factor right now. I guess I can only comment on AgriGold standpoint. We did have a huge crop with us having feed production anywhere from the eastern all the way through the western corn belt. Our biggest supply strain, I would say, has just been growth. As we come off last year going into this year, growth of the company and things like that has been more of our supply strain. We were able to move a lot of our production out west into some areas that didn't quite have as big a hurdles as we did when it came to the planting season. So as a whole, I'd say most feed companies should be in pretty good shape, but I can only comment as for AgriGold.
And yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But you're seeing size, quality, everything was still pretty good. You're going to be able to save most of the crop that was harvested for seed quality.
Yes, as a whole, we didn't see any significant issues. I mean, I'm sure there was an occasional hybrid that may have had some low germ coming out of the seed field. If that's the case, you know, we have to pivot to another product.
Mm-hmm.
And in that instance, you know, hey, there's obviously not a silver bullet out there that fits just every farm. There's lots of products. So when we have a hurdle like that we have to face, we just pivot to another product that'll fit in that operation.
Perfect. Perfect. Melissa, did you have something you wanted to add?
I was just kind of looking through, you know, some of the talking points that we had set up, and I know we've talked about the cover crops and the residue, and we're going into another wet, like you said, we're going into another wet spring. What on for you guys that are more incorporated into the cover crops and the different types of cover crops? What's out there, what's available, and which ones are more adaptable that you guys have seen that we've been working with? Go ahead.
So what I was going to say is, you know, kind of as far as, you know, coming out of last year, having a lot of compaction and stuff like we've been talking, I would say as far as cover crops go, just trying to make sure you have something with deep roots. It's kind of what I was going to say, is as far as, you know, having like forage radish, cereal rye, turnip, stuff like that, that can actually penetrate, you know, that layer and actually, you know, get, you know, relieve some of that compaction. One of the things I'll say as far as, you know, if we end up having another year like last year, knock on wood, hopefully we don't, you know, basically advanced planning is one of the main things I kind of want to push is, you know, start thinking about what you're going to be planting now as far as cover crops, and then think about, you know, possibly broadcasting or aerial seeding in the fall. A lot of people that wanted to do cover crops this year, you know, with the late harvest and everything, they couldn't get out there, you know, in the within the seeding window, or, you know, the prime seeding window, I should say, and actually drill in their cover crops. So basically this year what we noticed is, you know, the only ones that really, I guess, successfully were established were mainly the ones that were broadcast or aerial seeded. That's not to say that the drought and everything, you know, towards the end of the fall, you know, didn't help with that. But you know, I just kind of want to push, you know, advanced planning and kind of, you know, focusing on getting on that compaction layer and, you know, trying to incorporate in their broadcasting or aerial seeding, or at least thinking about it.
What kind of mixes do you recommend, or what are you supporting for this area? And Joe or George, feel free to comment as well. But what kind of, I know you hear five-way mixes, chill rye, standalone. What's kind of the best recipe for a fall applied cover crop here in this direct area?
I'll go ahead and start this off. I mean, I would say that cereal rye or oats and radish are probably the two beginner level mixes of cover crops that I would start with. You know, if someone comes in and they said they've never done cover crops before, that's kind of what I would go with. When you start getting into annual rye and things like that, you know, a lot of people start having issues with that as far as, you know, termination and everything. But you know, there's a lot of people that have really good five-way mixes. You know, they start incorporating a bunch of things like flax and stuff like that into it. But yeah, I'll let Joe kind of take, you know, Joe or George kind of take a, you know, hold that from there.
I agree with that. We have cereal rye before soybeans can be a really solid choice, and an oat radish mix before corn is also a really good choice. We have Purdue has a couple of publications out on that. We have some recipes actually that go into more depth on when to seed, how to seed it, how to terminate it, when to terminate it, what stage of that cover crop growth, that sort of thing. And those are on the Midwest Cover Crops Council website, and they are also on the Purdue Extension Store's website, and they're just cover crop recipes. We also have one called Integrating Cover Crops into a Corn and Soybean Rotation that talks about cereal rye and oats and radish before soybeans and then corn, and some other things on how that you might go about integrating those.
What's the theory behind that, Joe, on the oats and radish before corn and the cereal rye before beans? What's the agronomic benefit of those married with those crops?
There are quite a few, but just a couple. Soybeans don't leave a lot of residue, but you don't necessarily want a lot of residue, especially if you're just trying out cover crops before corn. So if you get an oat and radish growing together, you help to balance how long that cover crop is going to stay around, right? How long that residue is going to last. Those oats and radish are going to winter kill, and you're going to have less spring management of them before corn. Soybeans, in fixing their own nitrogen, can handle a little more residue for the most part. So having that cereal rye out there is going to provide some ground cover and help to hold that soil in place, help to keep that soil cooler through the season, and break down slower, provided a longer in-season nutrient release. The oats and radish are going to break down faster than cereal rye will, and they'll provide a little more of that upfront nutrient release from nutrients that they've taken up that were left out in the field.
That's perfect. Thank you very much for answering that.
I've got a question.
I would add.
Yeah, quickly, go for it.
If you're going to be in a cost share program like Austin's been talking about, make sure that whatever cover crop you want to try fits that cost share program. Right? So if you're locked into a contract, make sure that whatever you want to do fits those guidelines laid out in that contract.
That's a great pro tip.
Now, I know we're going to be wrapping this up here pretty soon in just the next few minutes, but I want to throw this out there and for all of you to see what your thoughts are. But, okay, we have not had a winter kill
let's face it, we've not really had a good winter kill like we normally would. It's been an extremely warm winter. What is that going to do to producers getting ready to put in this next spring crop? What are you guys going to see? Are we going to see a lot of volunteer cover crop come back? Because I know that is possible with some of the cover crops that we're looking at. And what kind of problems do you see that proposing for producers coming into the spring?
I do not foresee that. I think it got cold enough that most of our species that we generally count on winter killing are dead, especially our oats and radishes. There are some sort of borderline cover crop species that sometimes growers don't like to use them because they winter kill and they didn't want them to. I think maybe those will have survived a little better than normal, but I think our winter kill species probably did winter kill. Otherwise, they generally don't. I don't hear a lot of issues of them not responding well to most of our common herbicides. So I don't really see that being a big issue. What I do see, maybe, is cover crops that got away from folks last year and reseeded themselves in the field, and weeds too, right? On all of our prevented plant acres and things like that, we're going to have to be on top of our herbicide game this year to keep down anything that went to seed last year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I have gone through a lot of, I've gone around a lot of the I call it set aside ground, which I know that's not the proper term, but like you said, the ground that did get planted and cover crops or just the general grass and weed coverage that took over is definitely going to be a problem since we didn't have that winter kill for those particular. George, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Actually, I want all three of you. I'm going to give all three of you an opportunity to do a quick close on your thoughts going into this spring season. What are you seeing, George? And the other question we're going to ask you to answer in your final comments is, why do you do what you do? What do you love about it?
Well, we'll start off with your first question there. What I'm telling a lot of my growers, especially on soybeans, I'm recommending a treatment. Obviously, fungicide, insecticide, going into this growing season, potentially wet, you know, who knows, could potentially be later than normal. We, as you commented earlier, never really got that long, extensive hard freeze that we're accustomed to in agriculture. So a fungicide and insecticide treatment on soybeans especially, or a little higher level of treatment on corn, I think will pay dividends. As far as closing comments, probably the biggest thing for me, I've been with Agrol here for 3 years now, and coming in the seed industry, it's exciting to be able to get paid, to get up every day, and go out and work with growers. We're always trying to increase ROI. We talked about yield, we talked about cost, but at the end of the day, we're focused on ROI. How are we going to put more money into our customers' pockets? That's an exciting thing for me. When I sit down in a farm shop, maybe it's a home office, and we start, you know, working on our plan for next year, so to speak, we sit down and I feel like a partner. I mean, when we sit down, it's okay, hey, here's what we're working with. What's your recommendation, George? What do you think I should be using? Why should I be using it? I feel like a partner in that operation. You know, I'm an advisor, if you will, to a lot of growers who say, hey, I depend on you to know what products I need. I depend on you to what level of treatment, what product fits this acre. Farmers have a lot of things on their plate, day in and day out. And I look at us as a seed advisor. We're there to help make those decisions and be a partner in the operation.
What's the best way for them to get a hold of you if anybody wants to get a hold of you?
Yeah, best way would be shoot me an email, george.madison@agrigold.com.
George, I want to thank you for being a part of this. Joe, same questions. I'm going to pose those to you, too. And also let us know why you do what you do and how they can get a hold of you.
Sure. So one of the most amazing things about all of us in ag is how adaptable we are. And now more than ever, we need to continue to be adaptable, right? So we just have to keep all of our good agronomic practices in mind. Make sure you're out scouting your fields. Make sure you're being patient. Don't jump the gun. Don't make sure you're not trying to do something that should be helpful and actually hurting yourself. If you're interested in trying cover crops, I really encourage you to. We've got a lot of resources out there available in your local area and state and federal. Call your local neighbor that's been using cover crops. See what works for them. See what doesn't. Pick their brain. If you don't like them, call the next guy down the road and pick their brain a little bit, right? Start a network and start giving this a try. Why I do what I do is because I love it, because I love doing it. I love helping people be successful at what they do, right?
Joe, I want to thank you for being on, and Austin, here's your time to shine, dude.
Yeah. So basically, I just want to kind of push again, just advanced planning with these conservation practices and, you know, cover crops and everything. You know, while all these things are good, you know, they still require a bit of planning. So the sooner you guys come in and start, you know, talking about what you want to do, the sooner we can start talking about when we can do it and the funding and everything. As far as why I do what I do, I've always wanted to do something that I feel like makes a difference. And having these conservation programs just really makes me feel like I'm doing that. So basically, you know, all these programs are volunteer incentive based. So you get to see all kinds of different people coming in. And I just love getting to see, you know, like all these different producers and different individuals from the county coming in and basically taking part in these conservation programs and helping out the environment. And that's basically the thing that I care about the most.
How do we get a hold of you, Austin?
As far as getting a hold of me, so you can either, well, I wouldn't recommend stopping by our office at the moment with all the stuff that's going on. But basically you can just call us 765-659-1223, extension 3. And yeah, we have a website that's in development right now, so maybe, hopefully soon we can promote it through that. But yeah, phone would be the best way. But thank you, guys.
Well, thank you, Austin, for being here. We're going to take a real quick break, and then Adam and I will be back for a quick, fast recap, because I know I'm pushing the time window, and my operations director is looking at me with a big smile on his face. So we'll be back with Ag Day here on WILO.
It's harvest time, and you've got days, not weeks, to get your grain out of the field and safely stored. That's why Brock Grain Systems are built to deliver day-to-day reliability and long-lasting durability to protect your crop and your livelihood. They're Brock Solid, and so is Indiana Farm Systems, this area's authorized independent Brock dealer. You can depend on Indiana Farm Systems for Brock Solid support and service, meaning your grain storage, handling, conditioning, and structures will stand up to the challenge. And so will Indiana Farm Systems. Don't trust your grain to anything or anyone less. Call Indiana Farm Systems today at 765-883-5557 or visit their website at infarmsys.com.
Where the business is small, it is also mighty. Home National Bank offers an array of services to accommodate all of your banking needs. Live chat support and community involvement are some of the aspects that set Home National Bank apart from your average bank. Stop in the Thorntown or Lebanon locations today. Why wait? Home National Bank, a bank that makes you feel at home. Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC.
Let's get back to Ag Day 2020 from WILO. Our sponsors are Co-Alliance of Mulberry, Home National Bank of Thorntown, Lebanon, and Frankfort, Ivy Tech Community College, Wampler Services Incorporated, and Indiana Farm Systems. And if you're watching us online at HoosierlandTV.com, make sure you thank these sponsors: The Farmers Bank, Jim's Heating and Air Conditioning, Schultz IGA, Home National Bank, Wilson Farm Market, ProBike Computer Sales and Service, Ardente Dental, and Slabby's Food and Freedom. Now we continue with Ag Day 2020, again with your host, Melissa Miller.
Yes, we're back here on WILO with Ag Day, also on Hoosier Land TV. I want to shout out real quick to our crew. Our operations director, Kevin Keith, has been running the board for us all day, and I pulled him away from all his other duties, and he's going to shoot me before the day is over, but we enjoy having him give us a hand. Also, a big shout out to Bill Gant, who has been doing all the video for us on Hoosier Land TV, and a very underappreciated member of the staff, along with all the staff up the front office, making sure our guests get where they need to be and get fed, and Along those notes, we want to thank Ellis Jewelry for giving us fantastic gifts for our guests and also our catering today in office and also for our guests, C&R Catering LLC. They have done a great job, and yes, they left us the leftovers. I'm really happy about that. But we want to thank them for letting us be here too. So, partner in crime.
All right. Well, I just want to wrap things up, I guess. We have a new episode of All Things Ag launching live right after this. We're going to be talking about herbicide handling and mixing and tips along those lines as you go into spring.
Yep, a little shameless promotion there, but and that's okay. We got to do it.
I just want to say thank you. It's an awesome honor to serve this county, being able to be as ag-focused as they are. With the great FFA programs and the WILO willing to take a day out of programming to focus on agriculture, it's just a great honor to be a part of this and to serve. And I'm Adam Shanks. I'm your Clinton County Agriculture and Natural Resources Extension agent.
Mm-hmm.
You can reach me by my email, Shanks, just like Chisel Shank or Cultivator Shank, Shanks, the number 7, lucky number 7, at purdue.edu. Or you can give us a call at the office at 765-659-6380.